What does the ethical business look like in the era of globalization? Well, it's upon us now, and I don't think it's ever going to go away. So we better become familiar with the answers to this question and others like it. I'm Jason Murchie, and this is the May 31st show of Ethics from Living Room to Boardroom. Or you may be listening to this in its archived format, in which case, I thank you for listening in that way as well. World Talk Radio is the home of the show, and today's topic is interesting to me because of all of the ethical concerns that have been popping up in the newspapers in the past few years. I think it's becoming a mainstream issue, and Congress is trying to mix in there and change things around for better or for worse. Let me ask you to hang on through the commercial, and when I return, I'm going to be speaking with John Knapp, K-N-A-P-P, PhD, and I'll tell you a little more about him on the other side, but stick with me and it should be an interesting show. Only on World Talk Radio.
Mission critical. Two words that describe the data vital to every e-commerce website. If your company needs the services of an unparalleled co-location facility, you need to remember these two words, Castle Access. With Castle Access, your internet servers will be secure in environmentally controlled data centers that offer high-speed managed internet access and the highest standards of 24/7 customer support. For more info, visit castleaccess.com. Castle Access. We keep you online all the time.
Would you like to fulfill your potential? Do you have goals and desires you'd like to achieve? Do you get to a certain point and lose confidence or clarity? Fill in the gap between where you are now and where you want to be. Mary Kramer of HealthWellnessInYou.com will support you in the process of self-discovery and self-empowerment. If you have the sense that something more, something you cannot explain, is missing from your life, partner with Mary. Every day we encounter countless decisions that can lead to confusion. Mary will help you develop the ability to make these decisions from a position of strength. If you are an entrepreneur or small business owner, take your inspiration and move forward with your dreams. As you work with Mary Kramer, you'll receive the freedom to accept abundance and receive easily, remove obstacles you've been holding on to, and gain insight from her keen intuition and much more to gain confidence and rejuvenate yourself. Mary will be your personal coach. She is also the author of an e-book, Healing from Surgery, a Mind-Body Approach. For more information, go to healthwellnessinyou.com.
Listen, the world is talking. World Talk Radio.
To speak with our show hosts or guests during the live show, call us toll-free in North America, 888-514-2100. Everywhere else, call 001-858-268-3068.
Welcome back. This is Jason Murchie again. The show is Ethics from Living Room to Boardroom. Today is another business show, the ethical business in the era of globalization. I'm trying to determine what does an ethical business look like here in 2005, 2006, 2007. Where are we headed with that? And what are some of the guidelines that we can use to help us understand when businesses are doing a good job, not only making profit, but just simply doing a good job? Business is being done differently nowadays, at least by companies who want to avoid getting snagged in any of the various ethical and legal briar patches that so many companies in the past few years have. Ethical standards, in other words, doing the right thing, is not supposed to be the type of burden that puts a good business out of business, because a well-designed business plan is consonant with laws and ethical considerations. So to help me understand the issues involved in such questions, I'm happy to welcome Dr. Knapp. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello there. Would it be okay if I called you John?
That's fine, Jason.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Let me tell the listener a little bit about you. You're the founder and president of the Southern Institute for Business and Professional Ethics. You're a nationally known expert in organizational ethics, crisis management, and corporate reputation. And you're a senior scholar and professor of ethical leadership at Kennesaw State University. You have a lot of other feathers in your cap, but perhaps I would just urge the reader to click on your picture and they can be rerouted to your Southern Institute site, or maybe there's something else you'd like to tell them right here before we begin.
No, that's fine. Why don't we get into the questions that you have, and okay, maybe along the way we can learn a little bit more about the work that I'm doing here.
Okay, great. Yes, I think that would be good, because ethics can be a abstract idea to some people, and I think by nature it is, really. And so to be able to talk about what you're doing to bring ethics into the workplace is going to be good. So do you think that this is an era of globalization, or do you think there's a misnomer involved in that statement?
Well, it's certainly an era of global information. The very fact that we're having this conversation on the World Wide Web and people are tuning in from literally any part of the planet is evidence of that, and that has real implications for businesses, particularly businesses that operate on a global scale. We had a presentation recently from the General Counsel of the Coca-Cola Company, who gave a presentation about globalization and its effects on business. And one of the points that he made that I thought was right on target is that in today's world, a small failure on the part of a company in one part of the world that might affect directly only a small number of people, perhaps even in a remote location, can have an impact on business worldwide, because information about that is readily available almost instantaneously around the world. And so what a business does in one place can affect its relationships and reputation everywhere. And that's a new phenomenon.
I see what you're saying. So an example of that might be, if I understand what you're saying correctly, the fact that certain companies use sweatshops to make their products, and it tends to be a kind of an insular phenomenon where really the only people who know are maybe the folks at the upper echelon of the corporation and of course, the community in which the sweatshop is located. But I think with Nike, for example, once they started getting bad press about the fact that this was their practice and that maybe it was the standard of practice in the industry, they began to have to make reforms, even perhaps at the cost of profit, but they were facing a PR problem. Is that true or false?
Yeah, I think that's well said, and I think that one of the things that has changed over the last 15 years or so is that business is under greater scrutiny than it's ever been, not only from traditional watchdogs like news media, non-governmental organizations, activist groups, and so forth, but today the bloggers, countless websites where information is available on all sorts of subjects, and so the amount of scrutiny that business is subjected to is unprecedented, and it's caused business to have to be, I think, more accountable, and accountable in ways that it hadn't had to be in the past. And by and large, that's a good thing, but it certainly doesn't make it easier to manage a large organization.
Yeah. Does this mean that the people seem to be more concerned about the way that business is doing business, or is that not a truism?
Well, I think awareness sort of leads to greater concern. Perhaps in the past some people were blissfully ignorant of what was going on, and even in their own community. Today there is so much information available to the public and to any stakeholder group that can be affected by a company that that naturally has probably led to greater concern at times, because awareness of things sometimes causes legitimate concern.
Mm-hmm. Is it fair for people and for, let's say, our congressional representatives to get involved in business and say, you know, we think that this is how you should be doing business? Is that obviously, not obviously, but it seems to me that certain management professionals wouldn't think that was necessarily a good thing. Maybe if they had their way, they wouldn't choose it to be like that. But is it okay for folks to be telling businesses how to do business?
Well, as you know, there's this is not a new question. In fact, it's one that Adam Smith addressed long ago, and that is the nature of free enterprise. How free can we be? I think what we find is that we're as free as we prove we're capable of being, and there are times when free enterprise loses some of that freedom because of its failure to self-regulate, to police itself without the interference of government or law. And so, case in point, we now have significantly more regulation and expensive governmental burden placed on business in the area of accounting and financial reporting as a result of the ethical failures of Enron and WorldCom and so on. Now, we just did a survey of CEOs in the southeastern United States. We had 378 CEOs complete a questionnaire on these issues, and we found that about 80% of the public company CEOs believe that the Sarbanes-Oxley legislation, which is legislation in response to the accounting failures of U.S. companies, is overburdensome, unfair, and is really punishing good companies for the sins of a few. Okay. And so they're not pleased with it, but this was a case where public trust and confidence in the financial markets had been shaken badly by the revelations that there were a number of companies that were falsely reporting their financial information. And so Congress stepped in and enacted legislation that may have been necessary, but at the same time has added a great deal of expense to doing business for public companies and has left those companies just a little bit less free as the hand of law has weighed more heavily on them.
Yeah, it reminds me of the situation with, you know, a child who sneaks out of their room at night, and their parents says, you know, you have to be, you're going to be grounded for 6 months or whatever, you know, and the teenager thinks, oh, that's not consistent with the nature of my transgression, you know, and
well, particularly in this case, because I think what a lot of our CEOs seem to be saying is that I got grounded for 6 months because the kid down the street snuck out of his room.
Okay.
And in fact, I think it's true to some extent that good companies are paying a price that perhaps they shouldn't have had to in every case. There's certainly, we have every reason to believe that most companies were reporting honest numbers and didn't have to have this additional cost added to their cost of doing business. But this is the way the system works.
Yeah. It's just one of the things that I guess businesses are having to deal with here in this new millennium, in addition to other concerns like healthcare costs. I read that healthcare costs are also very burdensome to organizations. I'm not sure if it is a true ethical concern. It has some ethical flavor to it, but nevertheless, it's probably one of those things that businesses are being asked to do that causes them to say, you know, I think GM, for example, has to pay like $1,200 per car for health insurance, which, you know, if Japan is able to do it for $600 or if they don't even do it or whatever, then that creates a huge difference in profit.
Well, and particularly for a company like that has a large union workforce where some of those costs are considerably higher than, say, in a non-unionized company that might not even provide medical benefits for employees.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's change approaches for a sec here, and let me just present you with a quotation, and let me ask you what you think about it. This is from Michael S. Josephson, Josephson.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with him.
Okay. Well, he says, though the ethical challenges we face in the workplace may be different from those in our personal lives, the principles of ethical conduct that apply to those challenges do not change. There's no such thing as business ethics. There is only ethics. What do you think about that?
Well, I think generally speaking, he's right that we understand as we live our lives that what it takes to build trust, to build good relationships with others is not all that different in one context than another. It's important to keep our word, to meet expectations that we set, to be honest with people, to be fair and just in our dealings with others, to use power in a way that's restrained and judicious. That would be true in any number of contexts. However, the when we talk about business ethics or government ethics or healthcare ethics, we're simply using that term to refer to the context, because the issues that arise in a business context, say, might be different than the issues that arise in your home life. In fact, they certainly are different in many cases. Now, does that mean that a different ethical standard should apply? Absolutely not. Should you be guided by a different set of values? Certainly not. But the issues that one encounters in the workplace can often be particular to the workplace. They're not issues that you run into in other walks of life. And so an organization like the Southern Institute for Business and Professional Ethics focuses on identifying those ethical issues that are particular to the work of business or the professions, and helping bring people together to understand how those problems arise, what might be done to prevent problems, what's necessary in this context to build good relationships and to engender trust and loyalty. And so I think there is a very particular conversation about business that would be different than if we had a session on, say, clergy ethics, where religious institutions were involved. Some of the issues would be the same, but there would be other things that would be particular to being a member of clergy that wouldn't be the same that, say, a manager in a corporation would encounter.
I see exactly what you're saying. And as a follow-up question, I happen to believe that the nature of ethics is not doing harm to another. Do you think that that is a fair translation to business ethics, or do you think that something gets lost in translation and that it is under certain circumstances okay to hurt another in business?
Well, I would actually take it a step further than not doing harm. I would be more like Aristotle in my view of ethics, and that would be that it's really about the pursuit of the greatest good. What is the greatest good for all, and how do we pursue that in a way that adds meaning to our work and to our lives? And maybe that's a bit more aspirational, but I think that it's a helpful way to think about ethics. And contrast that, if you will, with the way that we often think about ethics in business, which unfortunately seems to be more along the lines of staying out of trouble or getting through the day without an indictment.
Okay.
And unfortunately, we sometimes do take a compliance-oriented view of ethics in business, particularly when we're dealing with things like aligning the business policies with the new laws under Sarbanes-Oxley. It's very easy for ethics to become a conversation about how do we stay out of trouble, how do we make sure we're not breaking the law, when I think what most of us really desire and what's necessary for successful relationships in business isn't just preventing ourselves from doing the wrong thing, but actually understanding what it takes to do the right thing, to pursue that, you know, to understand what that greatest good is, and be about the pursuit of the greater good with the way we run the organization.
That's very well said, and I appreciate you bringing in that Aristotelian angle. Are you able to stick with me for a couple minutes during commercial,
sure,
and we'll talk a little bit further?
Glad to.
All right. Well, I was speaking with Dr. John Knapp of the Southern Institute for Business and Professional Ethics, and now it's time for a brief commercial. But if you stick with us, perhaps he'll do some more philosophizing for us, only on World Talk Radio.